Hope you guys are here ready to hear the Word of God, but not only hear it, but search the Scriptures yourself. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And we're going back to the book of Romans this morning. Romans chapter 16. Now we're going to be picking up our verse in verse 14, and we're going to read through verse 16. And here we find the Apostle Paul at the end of his letter to the Romans is giving not only greetings, but also certain praise and accommodation to some of these other brothers and sisters that he's met along the way who dwelt among the Romans. And we've been sharing with you quite a bit about these folks and how that there's a lot of meaning in these names, you know. And some of these names, it's, you know, pronouncing them is an exercise of futility. Because you're not going to get them right, you know. But we're going to try our best. We'll try to pronounce them phonetically and as best we can. But starting in verse 14, it says, "Greet Astrynicus, Philegon, and Hermas, and Patrobus, and Hermes, and the brethren who are with them." And I just kind of in passing saying this, that they probably all dwelt communally together, because in that day, that's a lot of Christians did do that. They dwelt together and had all things in common, and it was a little bit different than what it is today. I'm not saying that where we are today is bad, but I think that we would be far better off if we got back to the way that brothers and sisters helped one another and treated one another back in that day. I think that we've become too dependent upon government programs and things like that. The church used to take care of the church, you know. And the principle that was set forth in the Scriptures for us as believers was to do good to all men, but especially the household of faith. So keep that in mind. Now, again, these are all Greek names. It says, greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. In other words, this with a holy kiss, something that was not sensual, something that was a brotherly or sisterly type, you know, a greeting. And again, even to that culture, even this day, they greet one another with a kiss, and it's not something sensual at all, you know. And I think a lot of people make a bigger thing out of that than they should. We can see from these verses of Scripture, though, that what a widespread influence Paul had sharing the gospel, not only with the Romans, but with the Greeks and with the Jewish people. His life touched so many people. But this one person here that I wanted to point out that really grabs my attention when I look at his name. Maybe we're talking about there's meaning in names. But this man, his name was Philologus. Anybody here know what philo means? It means love. Logos is the word. This man's name was Lover of the Word. Lover of the Word. Now, what a great name. What a great name. Now, you may not be named Philologus, but you know what? You can be known as a lover of the Word. I believe that that's what happens when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a real personal way. You fall in love with the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Amen? And, you know, the wonderful thing is that God has made this promise that whenever you accept Him and fall in love with the Word of God, you want to hear the Word of God all the time. And He has promised that He will come and He will dwell within you. Look at John chapter 14, verse 23. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Amen. Now I want to stop right there for a moment. I ask Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing upon this word this morning?
Amen.
The problem that we face today is that not everyone's in love with the Word. In fact, many try to change it to suit their own desires and their own fleshly lusts. And that brings us to the next verses that we're going to be looking at, verse 17 through 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, not everyone was working to spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ in Paul's day, and there were those who opposed Paul in his sharing of the gospel. And there are some who, for selfish reasons, were busy trying to divide the churches by teaching false doctrines. Some of these people, no doubt, were some of the Judaizers who gave Paul trouble when he was sharing in other churches. The things that he mentioned, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, when he said these words to the Philippians, he said, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those," like it says here in the book of Romans, to identify them, you know, and avoid them. And "Brethren, join in my following my example, and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Now, again, when it's talking about the belly here, it's talking about the appetite. And it's not just talking about a physical hunger. It's talking about a sensual hunger for things that are fleshly. Whether it be, you know, desires for sex, desire for money, desire for wealth and affluence, a whole host of things. Rather than keeping one's eyes upon the simple message of the cross and the love that Jesus desires us to show to others, whoever they may be. You know, the Bible says, whosoever may come. You know whosoever is? It's everyone. And God's desire is that we should not leave anybody out of the equation, but reach out to them in love, you know, that they might come to know Him in a real and personal way. And, you know, there's a lot of people who over the years have, because of maybe perhaps some of the churches that have false teachers in them, are carrying with them baggage that have hindered them and hurt them over the years, that the Lord wants to help them to be set free from those things. But, you know, we have to think about how God views each and every one of us as believers. Even though you may have that baggage and that influence, He looks at us like we're a chaste virgin. And He's concerned about us being, you know, hindered or harmed by some of the false doctrines and teachings that are out there. So much so that we see in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 15. Listen to what he says. He says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy." Simply what he's saying here is that, you know, I'm kind of just using this as an example here, and I wish you to bear with me with this, but it's going to set a foundation for what I'm really going to get to. And he says, "For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." This is one of the biggest problems with a lot of people in churches today. They have complicated their relationship with Jesus Christ. The simplicity of simply Jesus and Him crucified, and not getting carried away with other things, you see. And here he goes on to say, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which we have not accepted, you may well put up with it." He was saying, you guys basically, I'm going to be honest with you. What he's saying here, he goes, you guys are called sheep. And I think that's appropriate because sheep are pretty dumb. They follow anything. They listen to anything. They're easily deceived. Okay? And believe me, I'm preaching from here back. you know, not from here this way. Okay, this goes for me too. But he goes on to say, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet am I not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me of this boasting in all the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So these men, we see that they didn't teach and preach the truth of God's word. They used deceit, clever speeches to deceive the hearts of those who are unlearned and don't know the scriptures. And it's because we are like sheep that go astray easily, you know, and it's easy for us to fall into sin. We have a problem today as Christians. We simply have forgot the fact that we are cautioned in Scripture to beware of false prophets. They are the ones who confront you at the doors with their magazines and their books. They are the ones even who come on television, entice people with words that don't agree with the Word of God. Paul gives two instruction here that we see in the book of Romans. Note them. In other words, mark them, identify them, who they are, okay, what they say. And then it says, don't have anything to do with them. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 11, most of you are familiar with this. It says, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are gone out into the world, who do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist." There's a lot of antichrists out there, okay? "Look to yourself, that you do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not..." I repeat, does not have God. "He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Okay? It's a matter of obedience to the Lord. And it's also a testimony to others, folks. The issue is not making or keeping friends, but pleasing the Lord by keeping ourselves unpolluted from these false teachers. You see, the best reason of all, I believe, is for our protection. Because Satan is very clever. Many believers who thought that they were strong enough in their theology have succumbed to wrong teaching and have been deceived into falling away from the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 says, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Though I may be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Listen, look what he says there, though. He says, "Lest anyone deceive you with persuasive words." Okay? "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it in thanksgiving. And beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. I don't need somebody to come along and say, Carrie, you need this little book to be right with God. Okay? Or you need to join our organization before you're right with God. No. You see, the Bible says we are complete in him. That's the simplicity of Christ. You know, he died for us, and for all who received him, he gives the right to be what? Called the sons of God. You see? Now, those who come to know him need to understand that he doesn't expect you to stay as you were, though, you see. Verse 18 says, they use smooth words and flattering speech to deceive the hearts of the unlearned. And so we have to be vigilant. And we have to hold fast to biblical doctrine that is sound. And those who depart from it, and those who would try to take the simple, we need to earnestly contend for the faith, I believe, as the scripture gives that admonition. False teachers, a lot of times, folks, they don't get a following by being rough and harsh. But they get a following usually by being nice. And people think, oh, what a wonderful man. What a wonderful woman. Oh, so godly and so on. There was a book written entitled Standing Firm, Reclaiming the Chastain Faith in Times of Controversy. And it was written by a man by the name of Parker Williamson. And he spoke about two different men in history who had a great following, and yet they were Antichrist. And one of them was a guy named Arius, and he lived and he died in 336 BC or AD. And then Sconius, who died in 1604. But again, both of them denied the deity of Jesus Christ. And of one, this Arius, it says, here was a bright, energetic, attractive fellow, the kind of citizen whom every Rotary Club would welcome, singing sea chanties in dockside pubs and teaching Bible stories to the Wednesday night faithful. This was an immensely popular man. His stories remind us that heresy does not plunge us into belief. We are seduced. And then talking about this other fellow, he says, he was a gentleman. His morals were above reproach, and he distinguished himself by unfailing courtesy. Unfailing courtesy was remarkable in an age when even the great Protestant leaders like Luther and Calvin used vile street language when arguing with their opponents. You see? Wolves in sheep's clothing. All of this means it can be very easy to be deceived, and it can be very hard to identify and to resist the false teachers in the church because they speak convincing words. They seem to be gentlemen. Paul says the innocent ones, or the simple ones, really is what it means, are carried away. And so that's why he says watch out for them. And again, they are the ones, though, that have the appetite for worldly things. I heard one brother put it this way. He said, watch out for smooth talkers who pastor large churches, write many books, lead wide ministries, and do not manifestly prize above all earthly good the whole counsel of God. So I take note when I hear a preacher who pastors a big mega church get on television being interviewed by a famous talk show host. And I hear this talk show host ask him, is Jesus the only way to God the Father? Only to hear him say no. I take note of that. When asked about whether or not he would go to a homosexual wedding, only to hear him say yes. I take note of that. this man has just shared false doctrine. And when you share false doctrine, by definition, what does that make you? False teacher. A false teacher. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Totally contrary to what this man said. As far as going to a homosexual wedding, there really is no such thing in the eyes of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 16 says, For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, Brother Nathan, last Sunday, mentioned about the owl, how that they got a neck on them that they can rotate almost 90 degrees around, and that, you know, that's circumspect. You know, they can, it's like speaks of a circle. They see and they're aware of their surroundings. This is what the Lord's telling us, that we need to be aware of our surroundings so that we can identify when the enemy is attacking, when the enemy is deceiving, okay? And I believe that one of the ways, that the greatest way that we can identify is when we have the Word of God in our hearts. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does it say? Christ will give you light so that you can see, so you can identify the wolf when he comes. Amen? I was listening to the news the other day on the radio, and there was a news commentator who spoke about a minister who had been suspended a few years ago and was in the process of being defrocked because he did a marriage ceremony between his son and his boyfriend. And they played one of his comments. He said, we should treat one another equally, he said. After all, we are all the children of God. Is that right? While it is true we are all the creation of God, we all gave up that right and lost that status of being sons of God at the fall. Okay? And the only way to become sons of God is to be adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 6, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he's made us accepted in the beloved. He is the only way that we are accepted in the Lord, you know, accepted by God the Father. It's the only way that you can become a son of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13 says, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You must be born again of the Spirit, born again of the Word of God. John chapter 3, verse 7 through 10 says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again, for the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Even one of the greatest teachers of Israel didn't know these things. You know, just as soon as you think you know it all, it's a sure sign you don't know anything. See, that's why we got to keep it simple. That's why we got to keep it simple. Not get carried away with these other, you know, side attractions, you know, because they only clutter the mind. The Bible tells us that if we are going to keep ourselves pure and if we're going to keep ourselves untormented by the spiritual things that are on the outside, the Bible says whatever's good, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and the God of peace will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you're here, and you're like we mentioned this in Sunday school, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, if you're having trouble and being tormented during the day, it's because you're not keeping your mind clear and cluttered from the things, the distractions of the world. You've got to get them focused back on the simplicity of Christ and the hope of the gospel. Plain and simple. Now,
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom you also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by natures children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us, in Christ Jesus." You see, that's God's desire, to show his grace and his kindness toward you and I as we belong to him. You know, I want to go on, but I'd preach all day, you know. Sharing, there's some really meaty stuff here, though it doesn't look on the surface. But I'm going to go ahead and close right there for today, just to give you some food to think about, that, you know, the fact that the Lord has called us to be vigilant. He said, "Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Whom resist? How? By getting into other books and philosophies and things like that? No. Resist steadfast in the faith, in your knowledge of who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't be shaken by every wind of doctrine. The Bible says that there are men who come and by every wind of doctrine deceive the hearts of people. You know, it's the simplicity of grace. Thank God for the grace of Jesus Christ and the hope that God gives us through him. Amen? Let's bow our heads.